Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
I think Damon Arnett's the worst signing in his franchise's history. How they have lowered themselves to sign a guy like this, who's, and they said, well, he deserves a second chance. No, he's had a second chance with the Chiefs, with the Dolphins. The Raiders cut him. You know, when the Raiders cut players, you got to be bad.
John McClain joined us the last couple of segments. That was his direct response to a question that I asked about the Texans signing Damon Arnett, former Houston Roughneck corner, former 2020 Raiders first-round pick. I do believe it was 19th overall that season. I was kind of surprised for the general to have such a strong take on Damon Arnett. Totally understandable, though. He's seen the same thing that you have seen, PC, that I have seen, that we have all probably read about or at least heard about to some degree in terms of his checkered past and all the trouble that he had gotten in, even just since he'd become an NFL player. And one of the first lines in reports today, a lot of them at least, PC, was that Arnett, with this signing today, just was forced or ordered, rather, to pay more than $78,000 to a person as
dancer.
John called this person a dancer, and yes, it was a dancer who said
ballet
that
exotic
are not assaulted her in March of 2023. So he was accused of, you know, striking a woman, smashing her head into the ground.
Too much teeth.
That order came on June 10th. Arnett worked out for the Texans in and around that time. We talked about that. And just weeks ago, we had Arnett on this show as a member then of the Houston Roughnecks. Had a pretty solid season, right? And I told you last week about a piece that Aaron Wilson wrote. Took a really big, deep dive into Arnett and his past and spoke to him directly last week, either before or shortly after he was done working out with the Texans, you know, for this opportunity. Here was a quote from Arnett. Quote, "I'm 28 years old right now with three kids, with a mom and a dad that loves me and has my back right now. With coaches, I feel like I've proved a complete turnaround. All the coaches that have been with me right now, I feel like their words would be more valuable because I've said a lot of things in the past. What I would say is what they see on film, that's me being out of commission for 3 years." End quote. There was a lot more, but that was kind of interesting to me because of him kind of like rehumanizing himself, that he's a dad with three kids, which the ages, I believe, are 5, 3, and 2 now. But I think the main concern has got to be it's such a short window. It's such a short window. I mean, I just read you allegations, and he is now being ordered to pay restitution for a woman who has said he assaulted her just 2 years ago. So there's that. It's a short turnaround. C.J. Johnson, Houston Roughnecks head coach, had nothing but good things and glowing things to say about Damon Arnett, and you shouldn't be surprised at that. The guy that drafted Damon Arnett as an Oakland Raider back in 2020, John Gruden, said this today via Twitter. Quote, "He's got a whole new identity. He doesn't look the same. He doesn't act the same. He's not the same. He has changed his identity. He changed the circle of people in his life in a good way. He's focused. He's determined. He's got to make up for some time that he lost. He's really concentrating on stringing good days together. I'm really proud of him." End quote.
I think for the most part, when you have a relationship with another dude, like professionally, you know, you were a coach, you know, you were a head coach, you were a coach, you were a scout, you developed a relationship with that person. Mm-hmm. You want them to succeed.
Yeah.
And their repeated failures, you want them to finally be able to get past it. And I totally understand where John's coming from, because if you're going to say, look, that was me then, this is me now, you'd like there to be, I don't know, a couple of years in between a then and a now. And the reality is he got arrested a year and a half ago for possession of meth and unlawfully carrying a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Is a year and a half enough time for you to feel like, all right, he finally pulled the head out of the keister? And because, you know, what John was talking about, injured woman in a car crash in 2020, right? Slammed into her car because he missed a turn on the way to practice and then left the scene. And, you know, regular road, he's been 65 miles an hour. Then the video where he's brandishing firearms and making death threats, and that's what got him cut by the Raiders. Then he was arrested in January of 2022, assault with a deadly weapon, carrying a concealed weapon without a permit, two counts, possession of a controlled substance. And in July, they said, okay, we're not going to file any charges. And then not even a year later, he's indicted for assault with a deadly weapon and other firearms from that same incident. And he took a plea deal, got 50 hours community service, $2,000 fine. Dude, what? Where are these judges that you can be brandishing a firearm and making death threats and injuring people, and you get community service and a $2,000 fine?
Yeah, wild. Yeah.
I mean, if I backed my car into a street pole and took off, I think I'm paying a bigger fine than that.
Mm-hmm.
He had to surrender the gun he had, and then, you know, don't break any laws for 90 days. Apparently, that's really hard. Then, as John was talking about, July 2022, he gets pulled over. He's got a suspended license. The police, like, okay, look, we're going to let you off, because when you're driving with a suspended license, that's called AUO3, aggravated unlicensed operation.
A UO3?
AUO3.
Okay.
Aggravated unlicensed operation.
Dropping the acronyms on me. Okay.
That's a good caller for a regular cop. That's a good caller. Mm-hmm. They let him go and said, if your buddy drives, we're good. And then, like, 2 hours later, he's pulled over, same car, right back behind the wheel. And then he's doing the behind the back Macarena.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, and not only was your license suspended, but you're charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and a suspended license. So he definitely has the track record of a guy who never freaking learns.
Yeah. I forget who we were talking about. I don't know if you remember, but there was a particular player that in the D'Amico Ryans era that they'd brought on. And I thought we had the conversation. It was like, man, it wasn't Deontay Johnson. He's a football knucklehead. Like, you know, this is an off the field kind of knucklehead and repeated knucklehead behavior by Damon Arnett in his past. But there's the idea. Forget the player, because I'm never going to think of it. But they have a lot of different characters with a lot of different experiences and personalities on this team right now. More now on this team as it stands than they've had maybe ever before in franchise history. To the point that John McClain made about the kind of players that the, you know, founder, the late Bob McNair, wanted on the team. And if there's ever a guy and ever a group within a locker room to kind of help kind of lead individual down the right path, feels like it's D'Amico Ryans. Feels like it's the group that consists of, and there may be more, but C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Tank Dell, you know, so on and so forth. There is a very sizable and tight-knit group that, I mean, come on, they do Bible study together. They have scripture readings like in the heart of a season during a week in which people think that they're game planning 24/7. No, you know, they're taking time out of their day from that and they're spending it still with each other and trying to focus on the things maybe away from football, you know, life, because they actually live one too outside of football, and they're trying to make good decisions, better decisions. There's fewer teams, maybe more well-equipped than the Houston Texans, to take on a guy with such a checkered pass like Damon Arnett. So for that reason, like, hey, they made the decision. If we're going to trust talent evaluation, we can trust character evaluation. Can we not? Because so far, so good for the Houston Texans. 713-572-4610. From the 281, during this came in during the interview with John, almost as soon as he'd said it. Bob McNair isn't here, John, so it doesn't matter. And that was to the point that John was making that I just reiterated about the kind of player that the late Bob McNair wanted in here. Does it matter now? I think that's kind of an interesting question. Does it matter now to Cal McNair, to Hannah McNair, to still the very present Janice McNair, the kind of players that are currently on the roster? There are obviously, I think, some differences, not just Damon Arnett. 24 hours ago when he wasn't a Houston Texan, there's still some pretty clear differences in the types of personalities and characters on this team than there were 10, 15, 20 years ago.
I think we got to consider some really important things here. Number one, it should be very plainly obvious. Cal McNair does not oversee the day-to-day operations of the team the way Bob did.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was very involved with the team. He was aware of everything. I don't think Cal is nearly that involved. Cal is very comfortable with, I hired football people, I let football people make decisions. For the best, for the Texans, if we're going to be, you know, taking a big picture look at it, the best thing Cal could do is let football people make football decisions, because we saw what happened mm-hmm. when he had non-football people making football decisions, mm-hmm. and there was damn near a revolt.
Right.
So I don't think Cal is really involved in the day-to-day. I think that he lets football
people. Standards,
though.
You can set standards.
Yeah, but I think he lets football people do what football people do. And I also think that it's going to get up the line to him. Hey, we just signed this guy who's got all these issues. Don't embarrass my franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that Nick Caserio, coming from New England, where they had a very long track record of taking in troubled guys and getting them on the straight and narrow, at least while they were in New England.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
That they feel their culture is strong enough that if you can play, we'll keep your ass in line.
Yeah.
And also with the, if you screw up one thing, you're freaking out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great point by you, and I think it's the point by you. And it's so hard at the NFL level, I think, for people of authority and power, owners, GMs, presidents, you know, to actually give coaches a chance to do the other part of their job. And, you know, maybe it's not in said contract as part of the job, but when you're a coach, it's almost an unwritten portion of the job, like middle school, high school, college to a differing degree, especially now because it's more like a business. But I thought about this at the time when John's laying this all out. It's like, you know, as a coach, you know, reading that John Gruden comment especially reminded me of this. As a former coach, I was almost felt like I'm more in the corner of my knuckleheads than I am like the kid that, you know, gets in the stretch line, you know, doesn't cause trouble in the lunch line, in the cafeteria, in classes, like does what he's supposed to do, like, and is a good player. I'm almost more in the corner of the knuckleheads because I put so much more like energy and effort into helping that kid.
You're trying to get that kid on the right track, and it's work.
It's a lot of work, and it's very easy for a lot of people to draw a line in the sand and say, all right, enough is enough. I just can't. I quit. You know what I mean? Let me go focus on the kids that are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. But when you see something in somebody that requires effort from you that they are not getting from somebody else that maybe they should, you can't walk away from that. You know what I mean? Because you're invested not because it's your job, but because, well, you enjoy your job and you don't think of it as a job. And let me help this kid from a human standpoint.
That's it. You're a coach, but you're a mentor.
Yes.
And this kid who clearly needs help, you understand as a coach, if it doesn't come from me, it's not coming.
Exactly.
And like, I will tell you when I had a kid like the one you're talking about who does everything he's supposed to do, is a really good player. You made those kids captains.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the kids who helped you set standards, set rules, keep guys accountable, keep guys in line. They were your team leaders, and you empowered them to, hey, if somebody gets out of line, you're a team captain. You go be the first line of defense and get them back together. And you teach them how. You know, there are some kids who'll be like, I'm team captain. You can do what I say. You know, and that kid gets punched in the face. So you teach them how to lead. You start with example and then you follow it with your words to back up and hold yourself accountable before you hold anyone else accountable.
Yeah.
So when you have these kids who are clearly troubled, you know you have to be a part of this. And you are now involved personally, emotionally invested to try to get this kid on the right way. And it's like, look, you see all these other guys, right? Why do you think that they're team leaders? Right? These guys do what's expected of them. Never have to ask, never have to question. They stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
They work hard. They're in the weight room early. They're at practice late. All right. Can you do these things? Because if you can do these things, that can be you one day. Doesn't matter if you're lying or not. That can be you one day. And you give them something to chase.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And see that kind of teaching and stuff like that, it doesn't stop even at the NFL level. It's if you have that special group of personnel coaches to see that all the way through. And I think it's pretty damn clear that D'Amico Ryans, as good as he is at, you know, drawing up a defense and the whole thing and understanding the game, like, I think he might even be better as a person that knows how to deal and help and understand other actual people. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to weigh in on that, call or text. More in Area 45 on that. If you'd like to continue the discussion, we can. But we'll also get to this next segment, why it's so dang hard for the Suns to trade Kevin Durant. Next.